bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Let me turn this down just a shade. I tend to talk loud, and I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear what I have to say. So let me
turn this down just a shade.
Love you, Brian.
Perfect.
That's a joke, Benny. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. You're very welcome to follow along. We go into an article that I saw in the bulletin from the 61st Street congregation a couple years ago. Jim McKenzie, and this is all that he had written down, about 10 things, titled "Some Gifts That All of Us Can Give All Year Long." And I thought, well, I'll just make a sermon out of that and call them resolutions. And so that's where this lesson is coming from. I also saw this little comic in the newspaper. And in the caption, it has one guy asking the other, "What are you going to give up for New Year's?" He responded, "Resolutions." In the text that was read to us, Joshua has led the people into the promised land. And now the people are going to make a resolution. They kind of say it in those words, but in verse 16 they said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods." That's a resolution. It means you came to a decision. You set a goal. If you make a resolution, and typically many of us do at this time of year, it means we're going to aim at a stated purpose. It means I'm going to commit to something that I've already determined in my mind. This is what I want to do this year. It's a formal statement of intent. It means to be resolute or firm. It means to be fixed. Especially, I'm going to look at this outcome in my life, and will they say, this year. This is what I want to do. And typically on January 1st, people make what we call New Year's resolutions. They vow to better themselves in some way in this coming year. That's always good. Naturally, many resolutions, as you know, are forgotten. But the sentiment is noble. I just like to see and hear people make resolutions. They take a few moments to reflect on their life, and they say, "Well, this is what I want to do this year." And they optimistically plan to do better. And that's better than making no attempt at all. Sometimes when we really are ready for a change, the resolutions stick. Some for a few months, some for a year, some for a lifetime. So this lesson that we mentioned just a moment ago takes this phrase or this article that Brother McKenzie has written, gifts that all of us can give all year long. So number one, he mentioned in his article, keep a promise. He didn't make any comment. He said, keep a promise. Well, Matthew 5, verse 37, Jesus said, "Let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these comes from evil." Of course, the message is, and I think that's what Brother McKenzie has in mind. He's saying, follow through on what you say that you're going to do. He says, make good your word. That's a gift that all of us can give this year. It's the old phrase, your word is your bond. That should hold true today. Remember, years and years ago, sometimes people would just say, "Let's shake on it." That's true. We will follow through on what we said we'll do. Keep a promise. And you shouldn't have to make a promise and then seal it with, "I swear," on a stack of Bibles. Your word should be your bond. If you say it, then keep it. That's a greatest gift that all of us can give all year long. It means that you can be counted upon to do what you said you would do. Number two, let someone have the last word. Oh, that's tough. They probably have just given the last word and you say, okay. We have to have the last word, even if it's just okay. James 1 verse 19 says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. People have said to us, and we probably said it to other people, you need to listen. Sometimes we put it in the form of a question, are you listening? Or we may even make the statement, I know you heard my words, but you didn't listen to what I said. Well, in this verse that the Apostle James is giving us, he says, be quick to hear. And in the context of the verse, it says we ought to be anxious to hear God's word. Be quick to hear. Anticipate what God has to say to us in his word. Be anxious to hear that. Quick. Second phrase was slow to speak. And again, in that context that James writes, he's saying, be slow to speak back at, or slow in showing your displeasure at what God has to say. So we come with anxiety, God, I want to hear what you have to say. Be quick to hear. But be slow to speak back, especially if you don't agree with what God has to say to you in his word. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. I mean, don't be hasty in being angry at God's word when he tells you the truth. Be slow to wrath. So when God in his word gives us a course of life or how to behave ourselves in our relationships, be slow to wrath. We need to develop that skill of letting someone else have the last word, and biblically it's let God have the last word. God, what do you have to say to me? It's the attitude that we have of coming before God and saying, speak, your servant is listening. God, if you command, I'll obey. God, if you send, I'll go. That's a gift that all of us can have and use. Number three, again, number four go together. Because number three is listen to a child, and number four is listen to an adult. But number three, listen to a child. Brother McKenzie just said the Lord does. And he gives this verse in Matthew chapter 18, verse 5. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Receive a little child. Listen to the children. In Mark chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus, or the story is concerning Jesus, he took them, meaning the children, up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. One thing we can do, a gift that we can give to our children, is to listen to them. Take them in our arms. Bless them. Put our hands on them. Yeah. When our two grandsons visit us, well, we visit them. They're here today. But typically, as soon as we get to the door, they get to our door. Boy, they're very happy, and they're bouncing up and down and coming in, and they can't wait to see us. And typically, there's something in their hand they want to show us. So after we quickly grab them and scoop them up and give them a good hug, then we stop and listen. What do you have? Tell me all about it. We want to listen to our children. Listen. It's a gift that all of us can give. Take time to greet the children in this congregation. Listen to them. Call them by their name. If you don't know their name, ask them. They'll be quick to tell you. and then call them by their name. Listen to them. It's a gift that all of us can give. Take them in your arms. Bless the children. Number four was listen, not only listen to a child, but listen to an adult. I think what Brother McKenzie is suggesting, we need to listen to our teachers. It's not meant to be an insult that we may learn something from an adult. But in the verse in Acts chapter 10, verse 33, Cornelius has sent for the Apostle Peter. Because Peter, God, by design, has sent Peter to Cornelius to give Cornelius and his household a message. Cornelius, I have something I want you to hear. Send for Peter and have him come. And so in the verse it says, immediately, therefore I, meaning Cornelius, sent for Simon Peter. And then Simon is there in this text. He says, you have done well in that you've come. And Cornelius says, now therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of you by God. Ah, so Cornelius wants to listen to an adult. You know, he's an adult too. But Simon Peter, God, by his design, has sent you here. And now all the household, all the family is here. We want to hear what you have to say. What message has God given you for us? Listen to an adult. That's a similar situation we have here in our worship assembly. I've come. You've come. We're all here to hear a message from God. God, what do you have for us today? I want to learn. The admonition I have as one who stands before you and delivers a lesson is what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Give us a lesson or a message from the Bible. God, what do you have to say to us today? I'm listening. I'm listening. Lord, we are here to hear all things that are commanded of God. That should be our attitude. And that's a gift that all of us can give. When we assemble together, whether it's in a worship assembly or a Bible class, and the teacher has made preparations to present a Bible lesson, I'm listening. I'm listening. Number five, he put in his article in the bulletin, let someone in line in front of you. Because it doesn't hurt to be kind. This has happened to me even this past week. A lady let me go in front of her. She had several more items than I did in her basket. In fact, she had a lot. I was hoping she would ask me. I kind of stood where she could see me. You know, I only got these two things. You know, scoot up. Lady, can I help you put your stuff? Let me set my two things down. No, I didn't do that. But she did let me in line in front of her. Oh, you go in front of me. I said, oh, thank you. You're so kind. Bless you. Let someone in line. Of course, that's more difficult. Well, even when you're changing lanes on the freeway or someone's in the lane beside you and they have that blinker on, I'll slow down. But not if I'm on the exit and they're coming this way and there's 30 cars on the exit and that one's just jumping up and I'm hitting the bumper of the guy in front of me. You're not getting in front of me, you're crowding. No, but usually, okay, I'll let you in line this time. Let someone in line in front of you. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love is very patient. Love is very patient and is kind. So the gift that we can give, our resolution, is to display good manners to one another. In the words of the Bible, it's going a second mile. In our own words, we're saying, let's do more than what's expected. Let someone in line in front of you. Number six is keep a secret. Keep a secret. Brother McKenzie in his article doesn't say anything after that. I guess he's keeping it a secret. Whatever he has. me a secret just recently, and they added, Brian, this is not for publication. I can't wait to tell it to somebody that can keep a secret. You can keep a secret, I'll tell you. I can't keep a secret. But that's the resolution. I want to do that. I want to be able to keep a secret.
Thanks for the word.
Someone's That's right. So don't tell me anything. I'll probably tell it. Someone said in Paul Bourne, if your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care, of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how and when and where. So my resolution, keep a secret. Keep a secret. Step number 7 and 8 in your notes kind of go together too. Number 7 says say something nice to someone you like. The next one, number 8, is say something nice to someone you don't like. Well, number 7, say something nice to someone that you do like. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So say something nice to someone that you like. Encourage someone. Strengthen them. Someone you like. To edify means to build up. To lift up. Say something nice that edifies someone that you like. If you're going to edify, it means you're going to inspire hope in another. It means you're going to cheer them up. If you give words that edify, you give words that support. So say something nice to someone you like. That's something that all of us can do. But number 8, say something nice to someone that you don't like. Brother McKenzie said the spirit-led Christians allow the Spirit of God to deal with fleshly inclinations. So there's certain inclinations of the flesh that we need to kind of lay aside and live that spirit-led life. In Colossians 4, verse 6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you know how to answer every man. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you not fulfill the lust thereof, or the lust of the flesh. In Galatians 5, 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. So there's a way of life that God wants us to walk, and there's certain language that He wants us to use. The natural man, when it says somebody that I don't like, the natural man says, I'm not saying something nice to them. The natural man would say, I don't like them. I never have liked them. I'm mad at them. I'm not even going to talk to them. Yeah, that's the spirit. No. Say something nice to someone that you don't like. That's a gift that all of us can get. You determine the situation and what you want to say. Number 9 is just smile more and frown less. Smile more and frown less. Brother McKenzie said, a pleasing disposition will draw others closer to you. A pleasing disposition. Of course, I will add to that, say it also makes other people wonder what you're up to. Just smile. What are you up to? I've always heard that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Only takes 17 muscles to smile. It takes 88 to frown. I see everybody trying to frown now. Any muscles you're using? Trying to frown? 88. Well, that smile comes pretty easily. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Wow. That's the resolution we need to make. That's the Bible message that I'm supposed to adhere to. Man, you took away half my conversations. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away. bestow upon others. My resolution is to make my speech more loving, gracious, and uplifting. Then number 10, the last one on the list, give people your best. And somehow the best will be returned to you. And isn't that the golden rule? Isn't that we want other people to give their best to us? Well, the golden rule of the Bible is in Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that others would do to you, do ye also unto them. So if I want others to give me their best, I need to give my best to others. That's the goal. That's the resolution. This gift to others is not merely a good idea, because the verse continues after it says, all things whatsoever ye do, would that men do unto you, do ye also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. So it's not just a great suggestion. Well, I have a great good idea about attitude toward others and activity. No. You want the best from others, give the best to them. Give the best to them. Of course, the best gift and resolution is for you to become a Christian if you haven't, if you're not a Christian already. And that's the invitation and the close of the lesson this morning. Now, remember, it's a New Testament church. If you're not a Christian, you've not been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that today. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, if that's your resolution, not just to become a better person, but to become a Christian, to let other people know on whose side you stand, to let other people know to whom you belong, become a Christian. Hear the word of God. Believe it. Then turn your life around with repentance. Confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son, then be baptized, as the Bible says in Acts 2, verse 38, for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. And from this point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. If that's your resolve, if that's your determination, just simply come and have a seat beside me. Let that request be known.